want to take this opportunity, as I'd mentioned earlier, that Rami Danieli is with us this morning from Israel, and I could stand up here and tell you everything I know about him, but you know what? I think I'm going to let him tell you about him because he knows more than I do about him. So, Rami, if you would come forward, please, this morning.
Good morning.
What do you think I know about myself? I hardly know myself. Rami, married to Gabi, having four kids, blessed with four kids, 25, 23, 21, almost, and 11, almost 12. Living in Israel, in the beautiful Galilee region, enough about me. In actually the Torah portion. Actually, I was going to read what dear Joshua read. So, where is Joshua? No, Joshua. You took my reading. But God is so great. He has for us plenty of readings today, right? From the Torah portion. Actually, I was planning also to read something very, very interesting from the Torah portion. So, please, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 29. And you know the context. Those of you who heard me before, I speak about context, yeah. In order to understand and to gain real knowledge, not only head knowledge. From God's words, we need to consider the context always, yeah? And the context of the few last portions, including the next one, is just, the finishing line. You know, when you race in a stadium, we are just our forefathers, yeah? The generations of Moses and, of course, Joshua, son of Nun, are just in front of crossing the line from the desert to stage number 3 in their salvation story process to their promised land, to possess the promised land. So just about, it's just, you know, a few hundred yards before they do actually the crossing. And God, of course, repeats all of the book of Deuteronomy actually is given, is what we call Mishnei Torah, or the repetition of the Torah by Moses. He tells us all that the other four books told us, yeah? Actually, all that the other three books told us, yeah? Especially from Mount Sinai event and onward. And just repeat it for the people because we tend to forget, yeah? And that's why he repeats it. And of course, as preparation for them to enter the promised land. Now, beloved, you know that your story of salvation is patterned after the very story of the Exodus. I hope most of us at least know about it, yeah? If not, please go. I give you some homework to do. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and you will find it there. Okay? All that happened to our fathers, whether we are Gentiles, ex-Gentiles, we joined in to Israel, or whether we are natural Israelites, yeah? All that was happening to our forefathers, not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Moses' generation, Joshua's generation, was an example for us, actually mostly not to follow in their example, yeah? Well. Did we really learn the lesson? Did the generation of Joshua learn the lesson? This Torah portion is known as the Torah of the blessing and the curses, right? What do you think? Looking at Israel today, looking at Israel in the diaspora for the last 2,000 years, did they really follow? Did they really learn the lessons? Nope. Look at church history. Did church learn the lesson of their forefathers? Nope. What's up with us? With us all? So, beloved, just before entering their inheritance, God says, through Moses, some very strange words, I would call it. Turn with me, please, if you will, to chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, and let's read it. Those are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. English, Horeb, Mount Sinai. Now listen carefully to verse 2. Now Moses called all Israel So he speaks to all of us here, okay, and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Now look at me. Let's pause a bit. Did you all see it? Do you all remember where God picked you up from? You, beloved. You remember? I'm not talking about 3,500 years ago, where those verses actually were given by Moses, uttered out of the mouth of Moses. I'm talking about today. Do you remember where God picked you up from? Do you remember how he defeated Satan in your life? In his atoning death at Calvary. Do you remember all the goodness of God in your life since then? Are you ready for the surprise? Verse 3. The great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders, yet, verse 4, yet the Lord is not giving you, he speaks to us, a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. Woo! Can you say woo with me? Or did you overread what I just read? We are just at the very last point before we enter our inheritance. And all that we did so far was being saved out of Egypt, baptized into Moses and into the cloud, and for us, being saved out of this world, Egypt, by applying the blood of the Lamb on our lintel and doorposts, right? Walking the desert, the wilderness, called life. And only now we are told that actually we have partial understanding. We have partial sight. We have partial hearing. Are you listening? Because God always keeps the good for the last. So are we ready today to gain some good knowledge, not head knowledge? Are we ready to cross the Jordan, beloved? Yeshua is coming very soon. This is the crossing of the Jordan. He is Joshua. He is our Joshua, which will take us into our promised land. But friends, we must gain some knowledge first, because it was not granted to us so far. So let's take a journey of getting some intimate knowledge, which will get us more intimate by God's grace with our Savior and our Father in heaven. Beloved, still in the portion of today, we will not bother to read again what Joshua stole from me. So turn with me to Deuteronomy 27, and let's take it in context. The verses that the people of Israel needed to say amen to them. Remember? Cursed is this and isn't. Amen! Cursed, amen! I could not say amen, by the way, today when we read it. Because praise be to God Almighty, that he took me out of those curses by the blood of the Lamb. Praise be to gracious, good God, that I don't need to worry anymore, because his blood purged me, took the sin, the man's sin, this person which dwells in our flesh. Remember, Paul says, it is not me anymore, but sin which dwells with me. Yeshua took care of him. He's taking care of him. And will forever take care of him. So, beloved, look at the context of those sayings. Where would those curses and blessings be given according to Moses, according to God's commandment through Moses? Where? Come on, you tell me. You read the portion, right? Some of it, at least. Was it to be read on the east side of Jordan, where they were now? It was to be read in their promised land, in their very promised land. Are you following? But where in the promised land? Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, or Ebal maybe in English, yeah? Let's read it. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy 27. Therefore, it shall be, when you have crossed over the Jordan, that on Mount Ebal, in Hebrew, Ebal, you shall set up those stones which I commanded you today. And by the way, Joshua did it. Read Joshua chapter 8, and you will see that this was fulfilled, okay? He built an altar on Mount Ebal, etc., etc. And you shall whitewash them with lime, and there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God. Where? On the mountain of curses. Wake up! It's not on Mount Gerizim where the blessings were pronounced. It was hallelujah on the mount where the curses were pronounced. Do you see the picture? Washing out the curses by the blood of the lambs which were sacrificed there. We don't need atonement in the blessed side. We need atonement for the cursed side. That's how God is good, my beloved. That's how much He is good. You shall not use an iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones the altar of the Lord your God and offer burnt offerings on it. To the Lord your God you shall offer peace offerings and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. Rejoice? Eat and rejoice on the mountain where the very curses of God are pronounced? Yep. Because the blood, it's a picture. Sometime, he tells them, God will offer the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. And you can really eat and rejoice. God wants us to be happy. Did you ever notice it? Reading your Bibles? Do you think God wants us to be like this? Poor me. It's so hard to follow Yeshua. What a heavy load. This is blasphemy. Yeshua said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you are carrying heavy load this morning and heavy burdens, it means you are following other God, maybe gods, than the real one. Because His yoke is easy, His burden is light. He wants us happy. Would you like your children, physical, natural children, to walk like this all the time? I hate it when I see my son like this. Cheer up, put a smile on you. And he's not even standing before the king. He's standing only before his daddy. Remember Daniel? Remember Ezra and Nehemiah? Especially Nehemiah, the king asked him, why? Why your face are so? Remember God with Cain? Why your face are so? Face is falling. You think God did not know the answer? He wanted Cain to overcome, to have victory over his sin, rather than falling in killing his brother. Okay, let's continue. Vesamachta, and you shall rejoice before God, yeah? Verse 11. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, those shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. I could give a sermon only on this division between those six children of Israel and the other six. Why those and those? Read the rabbinic interpretation. They are pretty good. And those shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levite shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the people of Israel, etc., etc. Okay, guys. Context, context, context. Remember? Remember, we are about to gain some knowledge which will help us not being ignorant before we cross. Because so far, we have been ignorant. Don't go hard on yourself. It's God who puts some veil on us, you know? Probably because we cannot comprehend all His glory, yeah? So God wants us now, step by step, to gain some more knowledge, to open our eyes wider, our ears open, you know? Etc., etc. Beloved, where was it that God asked them to pronounce the curses and the blessings? On two mountains, right? If you have been to Israel, if I could project Israel, the map here, and I will not, don't bother open your map of Israel later on at home, another homework to do, and you will look for the city of Shechem, or Shechem, okay? Nablus, or Jacob's Well. Remember Jacob's Well? Okay, we will deal with it soon. Beloved, Shechem is located in a valley which is bordered by two mountains. One on its north side, and this is Mount Curses, Mount Ebal. Are you following? And the other one, the Mount of Blessings, is on its south side, and this is Mount Gerizim. Following? Who else crossed this valley? Come on, it's not a rhetorical question. Answer me, please. Help me. Who else was in the city of Shechem? Come on, don't be shy. Joseph, okay. Yep. Who else? Come on. Long before Joseph. Somebody said Abraham? Abraham, it's the very first station of Abraham when he crossed the Jordan. He crosses the Jordan to come to Israel. Abraham, are we following in Abraham's footsteps? Are we not children of Abraham? Jacob was well. Remember Jacob's well? Okay. I'm not sure about Isaac. But friends, Yeshua was there. How come this is such an important strategic, and I tell you, this is very strategic, place in the land of Israel? This is the place, the very place where it's most convenient to come from the Jordan River, from the other side, and walk through the valleys into Jerusalem, the city of the great king, where God will choose later on, and you know, he chose already, to place his name there. Are you following? So, Mount Gerizim, the Mount Blessings, is on your way. It points you to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is south of Shechem. Are you following? But where the troubles come all the time? From the north. Right? Jeremiah 1 and other verses. Where is the Mount Curses? Where all the troubles come? Where the great tribulation comes? From the north. Are you following? And here the people, can you see the picture? They are standing in the middle and they need to make up their minds, to make a decision. Are you with me? Are we going to turn from this Shechem? First of all, are we going to be stuck there like Jacob, which led to Dinah, you know, being raped by, remember? Jacob built houses there. He felt good. Oh, I crossed the land, the Jordan. Hallelujah, everything is good. No. God used very harsh circumstances to get out. Go up to Jerusalem, right? Beloved, are you going to be stuck there in the decision-making place? The valley of Shechem, in between those two mountains? This day, I'm asking you about this day. Are you going to be stuck there? On the fence, so to speak, or are you going to give your life with more knowledge, more understanding, more maturity in Messiah? Turn south through the blessings to the place where God chose to place his name in. Or are you going, God forbid, to go to the north? It's a place of decision making, and I'm going to help you making them. So turn with me to John 4. Brother Michael, how long do I have? Are you sure you want to let me speak till 6 p.m.? Don't you think that we should take a break? Otherwise, we might stay. Why not? It's beautiful. I love it. No, honestly, Mike, till when do I have? It's now 5 to 12. Okay, can you hold on with me? Good. My beloved, John, Yohanan 4. You know the story, right? Because this is not my message, actually. You know John's story with the Samaritan woman, right? So let's see. Let's get only to one verse, that few verses that he gave her, okay? Look at verse 19, John 4:19. Go quicker because I don't have much time. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive," this is a Samaritan woman, probably a harlot, "you are a prophet. Your fathers," listen carefully, "our fathers worshipped on this mountain." Which mount? Mount Gerizim. They are meeting at Jacob's well. They are meeting in the decision-making place. Are you following? And here the Samaritan woman, she is a picture of us. Neglected, hated, deserted, doesn't find her place in life, married already 5, you know, 5 husbands, she's fed up of the marriage institution. Yeah, she's now prefer to live with the 6th one, you know. Remember the story? This is us. Were you not fed up of your life when you came to Yeshua? You better were. Because Yeshua comes to the lowliness of the people. This is my Yeshua. He doesn't come to the great shots. With whom Yeshua actually fellowship most of the time? With the PhD people, the Jerusalemites, Those who finished Dallas Theological Seminary or Jerusalem Theological Seminary? No! With the harlots, with the tax collectors. Most of the time. So, here the woman which represents all of us. Oh! Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. Still they do, the Samaritans. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Beloved, let's pause. Here, as a good Messianic Jews, we would expect Yeshua to say, Yep, woman, you got it. We the Jews have it. We are cool. Remember what I told you today? Open your ears wide, my beloved, because some of the things that you will hear from me might step on your toes. I don't care, even if I'm not invited anymore, because I care for God's word. This is my responsibility, and I will not stand in front of you at the day of judgment. I will stand instead of this very person who gave us his word. So, beloved, oh, yes, you're right, woman, you sinner. You need to follow us, the Jews. That's not exactly what Yeshua said. Let's see what he said to this Samaritan woman, which is a picture of all of us. Verse 21. Yeshua said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, we the Jews. For salvation is of the Jews. He does not water down the gospel, beloved. Salvation does come from the Jews, and it's not a matter of pride. Actually, it's a matter of great responsibility. That's why the Jews are the everlasting spanked children of God. And you too, welcome to the club. With blessings come great responsibility. The one who knows more, it will be required more of him. Not me, don't look at me. This is Yeshua said. I just paraphrased it with my bad English. But the hour is coming, and please, please, please do not miss it. The hour is coming, verse 23, and you read it to me. Now he is here. Now, in the Pshat, was 2,000 years ago when he spoke to her. So how much more it's now? Since 2,000 years, Yeshua tells her, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. But what does it really mean, beloved? First of all, do you say amen to Yeshua's words? I really hope yes. Can I hear amen, Yeshua? Amen, Yeshua. Let's say another verse, another sentence. I just invented while, you know, while here. Say Abba, in the name of Yeshua. Open our heart. Open our ears. Open our eyes to see great revelations that you have for us from your word, so we can cross the Jordan as mature believers, because you are calling us to be mature believers. In Yeshua's name, amen. So, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? Shall we now take this Torah? Because the Torah, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, the Torah is not spirit. Let me see. Yeah, I can feel it. No, it's not spirit. So shall we take the Torah now, or the Torah scrolls, God forbid, and just trash it? Because, you know, God really is looking for worshippers in truth and spirit. We just read it, right? Shall we take the Siddur, which I really respect, by the way, especially the Messianic one, because they try to collect the good stuff from the Jewish tradition and, you know, oversee the bad or not important stuff of the real, I mean, complete Jewish Siddur. My beloved, shall we take this Messianic Jewish Siddur because it's not about rituals, you know, it's about, you know, worshiping is spirit and truth, and trash it.
Nope, my beloved. But I want to raise an important, crucially important question. Please understand my heart. My heart is crying for you, for myself. Could it be, maybe Rami is wrong completely now, but will you give me one for a million odds that I might be wrong, might be right? Could it be that there is more to reading the Torah and doing the rituals that God is calling us to? My humble opinion, yep, and that's exactly what Yeshua means when he says, there will be a day and it's hour and it's now. God will be happy, satisfied only with those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And the next question, my beloved. Did Israel follow the Torah? Ever. Fully, to the full extent, did Israel, our forefather, fully to the 613th commandment, keep and observe God's Torah, yes or no? No! How do I know? I read my Bible. Even Peter said it. Even Yaakov said it. The Talmidim, the disciples. Why do you put so much heavy load on the Gentiles when we ourselves could not take it? What a humble statement. Beloved, could it be that there is more than the Torah, than actually the Torah is pointing us to, is tutoring us towards? The answer, my humble answer is yes. Do you believe God wants us to keep His Torah? Yup! But what is a true observance of the Torah? I won't tell you what it is because Yeshua will tell it to you this morning. Turn with me to Luke. Luke 10. One of my beloved passages in the Bible. And if you went on my website, you could listen to this teaching. My apology. Sandy. Sandy, before inviting me here, she really was good steward of God, you know. She checked on me. So she listened to all of my teachings. I forgot what I said yesterday. And she still remembers. So I'm taking a great danger upon myself. I'm joking because I never repeat the same message as you already noticed, Sandy. Even if it's the same passage, I always go take a rabbi's trails. Not rabbits, but rabbis. This is one of my tourists told me once. Rami, stop calling it rabbit's trail. You're a rabbi. By the way, there is only one rabbi, Yeshua. You are taking rabbi's trails. I liked it. Because rabbis, by the way, in this world, do take many, many round and round and round about till they get to the point. So Rami, get to the point, please. I'm getting there. If I wouldn't feel home, I wouldn't act like this. Okay, beloved. Thank you so much, Michael, for inviting me here this morning. Beloved, crucially important passage which will tell... I call it, true observance of Torah according to Yeshua's fulfillment of the Torah. Fulfilling, when Yeshua said, do not think that I came to abolish, but to fulfill, yeah? He did not mean, like in the churches today, you know what the churches believe today? Yeshua, when they read Matthew 5:17, they say, something like this, Yeshua said to us, I do not think I came to abolish the Torah or the prophet, I did not come to abolish it, but to abolish it. Because they interpret fulfilling as abolishing. Fulfilling has nothing to do with abolishing, quite the contrary. It's giving the right interpretation to the Torah. It's elevating the Torah, God's Torah, to a much higher standard. So are you ready to be elevated today to a much higher standard than rituals and reading the Torah? I invite you to come with me. Luke chapter 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer, and please, this is not a certain lawyer. This is actually Baal Torah. He could be very well rabbi, you know, somebody who teaches the Torah.
in the context, okay? I read from the New King James. I don't know. I like this. Anyway. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, Rabbi, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? My beloved, listen to me, look at me. I believe with all of my heart that he was sincere so far. So far he was sincere. Come on, tell me what to do to inherit eternal life. Are you with me? Look how we are so far from the truth of the even Gospels. I don't recall here that Yeshua in the next verse told him, repeat after me the sinner prayer and let's bow down. How far we went. Look what Yeshua answers. Oh, he's wise, our Lord. He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And please understand something. In Greek, the second half of this verse can be translated, how do you read what you read? You see, head knowledge, we can know to recite by heart all the five books of Moses. I know Yemenite children who can, children who came, made Aliyah, immigration to Israel from Yemen. And they can recite all their, how many chapters there in Psalms? 160, yeah. All of them. Asher, Aisha, Asher, Lo, Alach, with their accent, yeah. All children, 10 years old, younger than mine. Does it mean that they have intimacy with Yeshua? With their Messiah or with their God? And for now, I don't look down to this, but I say, head knowledge is not what God says when he says it's out of lack of knowledge that my people perish. It's de'a, it's intimate knowledge. Or knowledge which brings you into intimacy. So how do you read what you read? It's not enough that you are a lawyer of the Torah. How do you read? If you really want to know how to get to eternal life, start to read it rightfully. Start to fulfill it, interpret it rightfully. So, here's the smarty lawyer said, oh, easy job, Yeshua. You shall love the Lord. You know the Shema. And he even, did you notice this lawyer was so smart, was so God's Torah keeper? By the way, he was. He took ואהבת לרעך כמוך, and love your neighbor as yourself, which is not part of the Shema. Check me. It's not part of the Shema, Deuteronomy 6. It is in a different book. Right? Beloved, and he already was so wise, probably was a disciple of Hillel HaZaken, you know, who lived about 70 years before Yeshua, and he quotes what Hillel said, or what just the Holy Spirit gives him. And he says, the Shema plus you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah, right? Verse 28. Yeshua said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. What? What? Did you hear Yeshua, please? Do this. Do the Shema plus love your neighbor. And you will not just live, you will. You know the context? Well, context. What was the context? Yeshua, what shall I do to inherit? Do this and live. Whoops. Yeshua traps him even without him noticing it. Oh, the Jewish rabbi, the lawyer, wouldn't try to be so smarty, he would save himself a big headache. But he tries to be now smarty, yeah, and say, show off before Yeshua. let's it's called in Hebrew, you know. Let's make some drash. Okay? Jewish hermeneutics, if you wish, yeah? Let's develop it a bit. Oh, you idiot, you should not develop because you are dealing with a very low giver. And you should not test him. Because he trapped himself now in a big trap, like many of us tend to do. Look at this. He wanting to justify himself. Who can justify himself before God? None! Say to Yeshua, and who is my neighbor? Umiurei. When I read it the first time, I said, what a stupid question. I mean, why? Why? Why to try to be smarty? You know, by the way, the Jews believe that Re'i, my neighbor, is only, your neighbor, is only within Israel. No Gentiles. This is the context. This is why the Samaritan parable comes, or story. But why to ask? Look at this. Yeshua answered and said, listen carefully. He does not even say who he is. He doesn't say, oh, Re'i, or your neighbor, my neighbor, can be anyone according to my fulfilling of the Torah as the Messiah. He doesn't tell him. He provokes him to some thinking, beloved. So I provoke you together with me to think some more than the usual. Are you ready? A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on by on to the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, my friends, Samaritans and Jews back then did not go so well together, to say the least. Because Samaritans saw themselves as the real successors of the Torah, of this generation of Joshua. Till today they don't accept the prophets. You know, no wonder why they don't believe that it's in Jerusalem. Okay? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. I am a Jew, I am very picky on each jot and tittle. Soon you will see how important are those insignificant details. I mean, who cares if he gave him 2 or 3 or $5? Come on, get to the point. I'm speaking to Luke, okay? So he gave out 2 denarii, gave it to him, to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, while I come again, I will repay you. While I come again. So which of those 3 do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer, probably completely blushing, said, he who showed mercy on him, I guess. Yeshua said to him, are you ready? He did not, Yeshua, if he would want not to embarrass this lawyer, he would go and say, well done. Well done, my lawyer. You got to the conclusion that the Samaritan is the neighbor. So you should love even people outside of Israel. Are you listening? But did Yeshua stop here? Oh, he made it too hard. He made it almost too hard to him. He said, so go and do likewise yourself. Excuse me? What is the connection? Remember, what is the context? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Love your God with all your heart, with all your sight, with all, you know, might, yeah, the Shema, and your neighbor as yourself. Are you following? Oh, who is my neighbor? Samaritan is also a neighbor. He could say, okay, now you have the answer. Now, okay, I need some coffee, so stay away now, okay? I gave you your answer. No! Go and do likewise. In the context, if you do not do likewise, you are going to miss eternal life. Do you listen? Because it's part of the deal. This is an integral part of salvation. Do likewise. Like whom? Like the Samaritan. So let's, Rabbi, will you give me another 10 minutes, please? Thank you. My beloved, in the next 10 minutes, we are going to go even into deep waters to see what's the connection there. Do likewise. Because Yeshua tells all of you, do likewise. Come beyond the rituals. Don't neglect them. Don't misunderstand, not misquote me, okay? Go beyond the reading of the Torah. Go and do likewise. Let's see what he means. There is a way to keep the Torah, and there is a better way. Let's Go and see it. Verse 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing. Point number one. Revelation number one. Be picky like Rami on scriptures. I noticed as a tour guide, certified Israeli tour guide, that Jericho is the lowest spot on planet Earth. What did we pray before to God? Open our ears wide, right? Open your spiritual ears. The man went down from, look at me, from Jerusalem. He put Jerusalem at his back, turned his back to God, and went to the lowest spot morally on earth. Are you listening with your spiritual ears? And of course, when you turn your back to God, you will fall into some problems. Are you following? So, what are we called to be as a nation, beloved? And guess what? You are not exempt because the same calling is on us because we are Israel. Beloved, we are called to be a light to the nations, am I right? But as what? As kingdom of what? Priests! Priestly kingdom, right? We all were called to be priests, yes or no? So let's see some priests in action. Verse 31. Now, by a chance, excuse me, wrong interpretation. God has no chances. What is in Hebrew, mikre, every mikre, chance or coincidence, doesn't take God by surprise, let's say. Oops! Angel, Archangel Gabriel, look. Levi, the priest, our priest, Levi's went. No! There is no chance. God provided the priest and the Levite with a beautiful opportunity to exceed their knowledge of the Torah to a much higher level. And they fail. By God's grace, we are not going to fail. As they did, by God's grace. He saw him, that road. By the way, did you notice? Spiritually speaking, they also, the priest and the Levite, also turned their back to God. Naturally, probably they just finished, you know, they walk in the shift, you know, their shift in the temple, and they went down. But please look at their spiritual depravity as priests and Levites. It's important. I'm not taking it out of context. Please have mercy with me. Try to listen. Saw him, he passed by on to the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Beloved, wake up. Why do you think they passed by to the other side? Come and give me some options. But quickly, because the rabbi limited my time. Yes. Very good. And he looked like dead, right? Very good, brother. So let me just go on from this because I'm short in time. My beloved, this is the main reason you should not, you know, it's Torah. They were good Torah keepers. Hallelujah. No, not so much hallelujah. Actually, they blasphemed the Torah. And I will show you. I'm going to show you. The Levite, the same. You know, he's also. He brings the sacrifices, yeah. And then Samaritan came and did what he did. Samaritan, who is neglected, who is rejected by the Jewish people, listen with your spiritual ears, please, because the Samaritan is a picture of Yeshua! Yeshua! Who clothed himself in flesh and went to help where help is not given by the people who should give the help! The priests were busy and busy in the temple sacrificing, and you know what they add to their sacrificial sacrifices? Oil and wine. Read your Torah. Oil and wine were part of the deal in the rituals in Jerusalem. Why? Because oil and wine have healing, medical healing, you know, characteristics. Oil is the oil of gladness. Oil is the ointment of God, Ruach HaKodesh. Wine, I am the vine, you are the branches. Wine makes the heart of Mary. You think the one who was stripped and half dead left, he was Mary? He was happy? Oh, what a nice situation I got to. He needed priests of God to come and do what they were taught by God to do only as a picture. The Torah is not the thing. The Torah is only the foreshadow which points you to what God expects you to do. As I tell you to treat my sacrifices, my lambs, you need to treat. I will now give you opportunity, beloved priest and Levi. When you go and turn your back at me, I will give you opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to practice what you are doing in my holy dwelling. Go put bandage on this poor person. Put wine, put oil, anoint him with the Holy Spirit, my presence. Give him some of my happiness. Take him to an inn. Pay for his needs. This is what we are called to do. You know why? Because the Samaritan, who is a picture of Yeshua, did it. Yeshua clothed himself. He was rejected by the Jews. He went down from his dwelling, Jerusalem, the heavenly, down to the lowest spot on planet Earth. Actually, if you did not notice, he began his ministry in the lowest spot on planet Earth, Jordan River. Don't take it only in the natural. By God's grace, he went so low for us. He doesn't request us to be humble before he was humble himself. Beloved, he, the Samaritan, Yeshua, he is a picture of Yeshua, comes down from heaven, Jerusalem. He goes, he attends to our needs, which were not attended by the priests and Levites. We should have, in the first place, do it if they were a true observance of the Torah. See, they missed the spirit behind the letter. The letter will kill you if you will not go behind to see the spirit behind it. The only way is to read those parables, read Yeshua's interpretation of the Torah. Only like this you will mature to a certain maturity where you are ready to cross the Jordan. My beloved, so what Yeshua came? He attended to our needs. He paid the innkeepers. This is Rabbi Michael, me, the pastors, the leaders. He paid 2 denarii. Dinar is 1 day's salary. You have raised us on the 3rd day. And when I come back, when Yeshua comes back after 2 days, day is like 1,000 years, I will repay you. Do you see the beautiful picture? Now you are wondering what Yeshua told him. You want eternal life, brother? Do likewise, which means, in other words, follow in my footsteps for God's sake. Follow my example. I did it. You should do it as kingdom of priests. Would we, in this place, beautiful place, want to inherit eternal life? Are we? Do we want to mature enough so we will be worthy of crossing, led by Joshua, Yeshua, our Yeshua, over the Jordan River to our inheritance? Start to apply the Torah in your very lives, outside the synagogue. It's very nice to come here, air conditioned, beautiful, by the way, where is Bonnie? Beautiful music, I loved it, yeah? Worship. But this is not all. This should be the climax of your weekly experience where you bandage the wounded people, where you poured out of the oil that you received here in the house of God and out of the wine that you blessed over in the Shabbat. Do it to your neighbors because your neighbors include everyone that you find out there in the world. Many are wounded. Many are stripped by robbers, so to speak. We have lots and lots to do before Yeshua comes. And guess what? Great is the repay. Great is the reward. And he gave us already, each and all, every one of us, enough dinars, yeah, dinars. And he gave us enough oil and enough wine to do the job. Amen? God bless you.